the minor. With what voracity did I plunge into the cobbled streets, jubilant and high of omegas. I am boinging past the small civilization, a shop, many houses in rows. There are trees growing from impossible angles, and I weave my way around them, like arms reaching out from tarmac, cobble, brick and mortar. I take pause. The path is so prescribed, and yet I share it with nobody. I turn around and glimpse back at the river. It was too beautiful to capture at the moment of its seeing. Ageless, the colours are renewed daily with variations of light and distance that no artist could paint nor suggest. A view for the few. In this inert town, a bell tolls. And suddenly, this quiet valley is ambushed by a crowd of miners, the kings of the underworld. Dishevelled, their clothes waxy and thick. I wonder if in dead of night these garments walk themselves proud about town. The miner's body invade the street, and quickly I am overrun, and I'm gently pushed past as hostile eyes penetrate my gaze. They look down at me from below. I eye their muscular buttocks and bow legs with admiration. I want to be like them, aristocrats of the working class. I follow them and am intoxicated by their scented slipstream. In this inert town, time crawls on its hands and knees. Tugged by the nose, my eyes focus, and I am standing in a public house of all places. Celebration is in the air, a sense of a job well done and certainly completed, of a final chapter. There is a tinkering at a piano, voracious loquacity with a tendency to cascade into a roar as though a child were a volume's dial. I try to engender myself to the crowd. Prove that I am not some corporate outlier and make my way to the biggest barrel. He is set away from the rowdy singing and play fighting. He seems surprised at my proximity and cocks his body back on the bar stool, drink in hand still firmly uninterrupted on the bar. He composes himself by gazing into his brow. We share a moment's silence. Benito Navio. Before the words reach my comprehension, the acrid gust from his mouth fills my eyelids with a stinging tear. Some chilled gases. He points to a mirror at the end of the bar, and I hover over and see in my reflection, between closed lips, fine bones gleaming like gossamer of dearest you-know-who. Smile. I pull and yank out the cluster. Over the surface of his forehead, he asks me where I'd come from. In reality, he cared little for my response, fanning it away as though a back and forth were entirely futile. He remains generous nevertheless, smiling in my direction, having done a full round at the room. Finally, our eyes meet and his globes held tribulation akin to those trees' rings. Details of prehistory, industry, and humanity's massacres of biblical proportions. No, this is beyond the word. The globes are perfect black, so much so I cannot tell if I am in fact staring into the sockets themselves. The flesh around his eyes move, mimicking my expression of ocular exploration. And now we are twins, assessing one another like dogs. I frown. He frowns. In this stasis, something small but sharp drops onto my foot. A tooth! The rest cascaded it out onto the ground, and the rest I ate there and then. Socketed man watches. His sockets are as black as his voice is loud. Ah, that's how it starts, you see, he goes. The ramblings of the socketed man continue with certain words coming up for air amidst the brown powered drivel. He speaks of some distorted gravity that took his teeth too. Ah, and intermittently mentioned a great big black hole. He asks about my infancy, and I chase after the hole. His response is to send out a rogue blackened index and draws a circle in the air. We've been drilling, see? In this inert town, shadows are suspended on dust. You look at this place and sense it was fated to die. He isn't wrong. There are no women here, no children, nothing in youth. Well, we pushed it along a bit. He joins his thumb and index of his left hand and gestures with his right index, pointing into the makeshift circle. Confused, the barkeep taps me on the shoulder and explains with perfect lucidity. They're celebrating reaching the core this morning. All those precious metals, they'll come pouring out soon in a volcanic eruption. It ought to cover the entire surface of the earth with a meter thick layer of gold and platinum. You can go see it if you like. The magpie. This was no inert town. I am duped. I move at haste up a hill and reach the hole. I stand there, gazing at the deep valley below. There is no present here, and no future neither, only the past brittle with relics. The bells have ceased to chime. The hole is encircled with a fence. I hear and feel rumblings from the greatest darkness below. Atop a fence post stands an adorned magpie, cocky. Its tail wags rude and ginger. Dressed and adorned with jewels and tales of other people's lives. Stolen dress, bloated prizes of life. It molts no feather at its shameless looting. Beneath it on the ground are a tail, a trail of talismans and trophies leading to the hole. And with a voice full of money, the magpie makes its call. Why would anyone abide such an archivist? To satisfy my fury, I secure both hands around the bird. I squeeze its body hard and shove its head in my mouth, gnawing at its neck. I feel my teeth shattering its tiny bones. It's quite an effort, but I succeed after several attempts to release the head. I chew the beak and all of the rest like it's bubble gum. Cock my head back, taking in the last of the perfect elastic blue sky, and launch out the transformation. I raise Magpie above my head and wring its body like a wet flannel over my face, and its blood, organs and sinews fall into my mouth and over my chin. It's covered now. Ah, crimson beard.
But it is hard to write about love. T-shirts, trousers, shoes. We briefly touch what our friends are wearing to show our affection. Some friends have become our lovers, preferably within a walking distance. We have seen 300% rise of chihuahuas and sausage dogs and empty pizza boxes. We should see more rats, but we don't. We haven't discussed about their absence yet because we have just woken up in a sci-fi film setting and our eyes are still crusty. After seeing the father, a follower of Jesus, of one of my exes frowning, I tried to use some other words instead. My word, my goodness, goodness me. None of them worked. None of them worked for my bomber jacket. Fuck you. The gap between the blinds shows a third of a face. I have daydreamed this many times. Now that it is becoming real, I'm not so thrilled about it. An apple declares love. I open the door and throw blueberry. A blueberry hits a tree. The morning sun behind the face behind the blinds. But I know the face. I grab my phone and text. Is it you outside? It is you. Is it you? It is you. Fuck you. I have a liver spot. I show my hands. It is another airless hot morning. The climate is climbing, a global problem. We are all aging, another global problem. You flew for 200 hours or something, making us all hotter, and now standing there looking sculptural. I see wet patches under the t-shirt. I sniff. I tongue the sweat-filled armpits. An armpit hair sits between my teeth.